I'm Adam.
And I'm Matt.
Welcome to The Dad Experience, a podcast where dads can connect and openly share stories. Welcome back to the infamous basement studios. Thanks for joining us today. On this very special, momentous day. Not really. It's just another day for us, but it's just an exciting
Wednesday,
day.
Isn't it? It's just Wednesday.
It is Wednesday, but it's an exciting day because we're here doing this, and it's a fun thing to do, and it's always great to reconnect back and talk a little bit about some different things with you guys. So, Matt, how's it been going? You know, last time we talked, you had some different things going on in your life, and anything else new or anything that's kind of evolved since the last time we talked?
It has been much the same. It was the school garden I've been working on, which I'm almost completed with. Got the raised beds in, got the fence, and now tomorrow, actually, the teachers are going to bring out the kindergartners in groups of four or five, and we're going to start planting together.
Nice. So nice kindergarten.
It's nice that with it being a school garden, that the kids get to actually be involved. I'm a little nervous because, like, I'm not a kid person. I'm not a teacher. Like, I'm my kid person, right, yeah. You know?
That's a whole nother topic, too. I've heard that many times before.
Yeah, like, talking to kids at that level, like, I don't. You know, I'm always worried of sounding like too condescending or too childlike.
Right.
So then I ended up being more, hey, how are you doing? You know.
Right.
So, but it's good. It's about plants, so that's going to gear towards there.
Yeah.
After school, when I was working on the garden, a lot of the kids would come out and they'd want to help. They'd want to hold the shovel. They'd want to hold the tape measure. So that was
nice.
Cool.
So there's excitement going on there. There's excitement going on there. So
yeah.
Well, that's a lot of fun. That's fun. You're gonna be able to do all those things. But you have some parent involvement, right? Helping you out and
a little bit, yeah.
A little bit, but you're the guy.
I think so. I'm the guy. But right. Yeah, tomorrow there'll be a couple parents and the teachers will come out, but they're kind of looking to me to kind of direct the show.
Gotcha. Let me ask you this, because I do remember this from the last time we talked. Are you still nervous when you go in that principal's office?
I haven't been back.
Do you think you'd be nervous?
Yeah, I talked to her in the hallways now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you avoid the office.
Yeah, I avoid
that
the
anxiety
office.
Anxiety dissipates when you talk in the hallway.
Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Cool. Right, that's great. So yeah, we've, you know, we got some good feedback from the last show. Thank you to those that reached out to us and talked to us about the last show. We got some interesting feedback. I think a few people were really hoping that maybe we had a third person on here for that one to maybe do a flip side. Cause, you know, I heard it more than once and I think you heard it as well that,
right.
You and I have some very similar, philosophies
views.
And theories,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. And it would be nice to bring somebody else on. So this is a plea now. If there's anybody out there that wants to join us, we do have a couple that are in the works. We're working on having Skype to be able to do some Skype interviews with some folks, and we're
yep.
going to test it. But we don't want to test it too soon and turn somebody off that might want to be on the show and that
right.
doesn't think of know what we're doing. Well, we really don't know what we're doing.
Right? Yeah, that's
we try
true.
To.
Yeah.
We're trying. But
yeah, we're trying.
We're learning as we go. So if there's folks out there that would like to join us or be that third chair on topics, reach out to us, maybe have a topic. We'd love to have you because we want to have that other flip
yeah.
side of things. We need the flip side of things. But I wanted to bring up from the last show, if you're just joining us on this one, the last show was about masculinity and how masculinity is perceived, and then we focused it back on some of our parenting and masculinity. So we heard from Jeff, and Jeff said the show is a great topic, and he said what's great is his masculinity has declined since he had his son, and kids change you as a person, and his dad experience. You looped it mm-hmm. back to our show title.
Nice.
So he said at the end here, so let's grab some beers this weekend and watch Lifetime movies. Ha, ha, ha. So, you know, I know Jeff, and Jeff's a great guy, and Jeff's a great dad. I can tell you that 100%. I do know Jeff. And what he had to say there was truly, truly cool because I do however, see that there's that flip side of having fun and joking around and all the beers and stuff. It's interesting to see that how parents do change and do admit that change is there. And I think sometimes we're afraid to bring that out there and put that out there. But, you know, there is a balance there too, you know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So I wanted to bring that up. So thanks for bringing that up to us and pointing out that and listening to the show. We really appreciate that. So, Jeff, join us on a show. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And especially a topic like masculinity, that's going to come up time and time again in different ways. It's such a big topic and affects all different kinds of things. So it will come up again and again.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. So thank you for sharing. But it's great. So, I guess, today's topic is Matt suggested the topic a couple weeks ago. We've been texting back and forth. We're not too far apart from each other, but we're at some distance. So when we chat, we'd usually chat on our, texting back and forth and whatnot. And that's how we discuss the show and kind of keep up to date with the show. And I've had a rough couple weeks. It's the end of the year for me. And so it's always crazy at the end of the year. And this year's a little more crazy because, I'm supposed to be done next week, but, due to
end of the year for teachers.
End of the year for teachers, right? Mm-hmm. Right, and end of the year for teachers. Sorry, but due to my daughter having surgery coming up because of the AVSD that's now been scheduled and planned to have her surgery, I will be off all of next week. So all of that coming kind of to a head. There's been a lot of different things in my life, some changes that have been happening.
Is that the last week of school? Is your last week of school next week?
Yeah, my last week of school is next week. So I'm trying finish up what I've got to do as much as possible, get ready for next year because I'm shifting into a new position next year in the school district. So I've got a little bit more responsibility and even some summertime commitments and trying to undo all that stuff as well as
preparing for your daughter, your infant daughter to have heart surgery.
Right. And so my daughter just turned 8 months old this last Monday. And it's been a tough, I was fine. We found out at 18 weeks in a scan about the AVSD. And I talked a little bit about this in the first episode. And then from there, we found out that it was AVSD and did a lot of different testing. And it's been a journey. Been a journey even to have Eleanor and to have our daughter. Because we did go through AVSD, through IVF. Initially, mm-hmm. Too many acronyms right
There's
now.
There's a lot of initials going on.
Yeah, a lot of acronyms. Yeah. We like our acronyms. But so it's been a long journey. So we've arrived at this. And I think my wife said it best. She said, I wish it was either like 8 months ago or 6 months ago or it's like done. Because
the surgery?
Yeah, because like 6 months ago, you can kind of like, okay, it's off in the distance.
Right.
But like right now, so it's like, it's here. So it's like, let's get there. So it's been.
And she's a teacher too. So she's at the end of her school year.
Yeah, she's at the end of her school year too.
So you're both kind of at this very transition part of your jobs, which is also always stressful on a normal time. Right. And then you tack on this major, any surgery on any kid at 8 months old is going to bring some anxiety, I imagine.
So, for me, it's been interesting. Like I said, there's been a lot of change on top of it. So it's been eating at me and been, so it finally broke down the other day. It just hit me and I just was trying to cope with it and deal with it. And, I was with some friends and, they were asking about her and I don't know if it was the situation was comfortable or I was just in, I was just finally just at my breaking point, but I just kind of broke down. And ever since then it's been just pins and needles and just afraid of, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, you more than likely things are going to go fine.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in one of the best places possible, AVSD to be her AVSD to be repaired, but you never know what's going to happen. So as a human being, your mind goes to the worst. And I don't know, maybe it's me as a parent, but I'm assuming it's a most parents, but you go, what if?
Yeah.
XYZ happens. You can't do that, but
you go down a rabbit hole. Yeah.
And it's tough. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about. Not necessarily her surgery,
but
it'll probably come up and creep in for me, but fear itself.
Fear itself.
Boy, I'm quoting now, aren't I? Didn't even know that.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear in parenting and fatherhood.
Yeah, so, I mean...
But just to ask you a quick question directly related to the AVSD.
Sure.
About to go through the surgery, what do you like to hear or not like to hear from people? Is it comforting when someone says, oh, my friend's daughter had this and it was fine? Like, do you like to hear that? Or is it like...
We do. The hard part about this is that, you know, issues with the heart are not necessarily uncommon. I mean, they're not common. I mean, let's face it. But they're not uncommon either. So it could be many variations of issues with the heart or a hole in the heart. You know, right. Specifically AVSD, which is pretty serious. And all of them are serious. So nothing is exactly the same. So I guess to really answer that question, do we like it when I say, oh, I know somebody that had X, Y, and Z? It's tough. It is tough. And, you know, it's kind of, we went through the same thing when we went through IVF too.
Mm-hmm.
So when we went through IVF, we were always like, oh, I know somebody that went through it, or I know somebody that had to do fertility treatment. And yes, it's comforting. And we did reach out to some people, and it's always nice to reach out with people. But not all of them are the same or have the similar severity or
right.
whatever it may be in that case. Mm-hmm. You know, you reached out to me about somebody, and I think I asked you, I said, you know, what was it? And it was the same, which is perfect. That's kind of like we're along the line, but it's like in passing, well, my cousin's brother's sister's son had had a hole in their heart, and you know, they're fine. They're like 12 years old now, and they're fine. They're doing great. Well, yeah, it's awesome. But, you know, all the cases are different. So it's hard to wrap right. your head around that. It's much appreciated. So those of you that know me and may be hearing this, it's not that it's not appreciated. It's just it's hard to deal with something like that. The other thing that's very, very, very hard to deal with is it's going to be fine. Yeah. Yes. In my mind, it's going to be fine. I'm really hoping for it. I'm not negative. I can get down sometimes and be pessimistic, but I do feel like it's going to be okay, and we're in really good hands. We're in the best place we possibly can, as I said earlier, but we don't know if everything's going to be fine. We don't know if this is going to be a one-stop shop fix. You know, there could be an issue down the road. Kind of to talk about this in all different forms, you know, I know some other folks that have had to go back and do surgery or need to have another surgery on valves or whatever it may be. So, no, it may not always be fine. So those are the two things that are hard to deal with that whole thing.
Especially, you know, that people are probably well-intentioned by saying those because people want to provide comfort. And
right.
It's like sometimes you don't want to say the wrong thing, so you don't say anything at all.
Right.
You don't want to not say anything and have people, you know, that feel like your friends don't care. So,
right.
You know, we want to say.
No. And
it's going to be fine. But
and I do.
You know, what
and,
do we know?
You know, sometimes... What I've found with things, sometimes for us, it's been, man, that's crap. Or you've been dealt a shit hand or whatever it may be. And it's tough, but we're here for you. You know, sometimes that goes a long way too. And that just kind of helps with that and eases my fear a little bit with all those things. And
so you don't want to hear solutions.
Yeah.
It's just like,
right.
I hear you. You're overwhelmed. You have anxiety. I get it. I understand.
The greatest things, and I don't know if you can go back, the things that have helped reduce our fear a little bit. And, you know, we case in point, we've got a lot going on in this house. You know, you can attest to this. We just actually paused the podcast just a couple minutes ago. My wife came down. We're both going through a lot, you know, like you said, or you said, Matt, earlier that.
Yeah, I can tell the energy in the house is very different this time.
I apologize. Baby's not sleeping, you know, and I wonder if she's starting to pick up on some things too that were a little differently.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I'm assuming that's happening too, but in the house, it's just much more of a higher tension and,
you guys have a lot going on.
Yeah.
It's completely understandable.
And I hope so. And I appreciate you being patient today, but, you know, it's going on and that's something that we're dealing with. And I think the fear is playing a big part in that for me.
Yeah.
And how to manage it. I don't know. I think I'm managing it okay. I don't think I'm managing it the best. We'll see how it goes on.
What do you say you don't think you're managing it the best. How do you see you managing it better? Like, if you could, what do you see better?
I wish I could be a little more calm, and I try to be calm, But, and I don't know that I'm a calm person anyways. I'm a high anxiety person as it is, but, I sometimes wish in my head, I'm like, oh, how can I calm myself down so it doesn't overwhelm me? Mm-hmm. What strategies can I use, to help with that, you know?
What are some of the things that you do?
I used to do a lot more with meditation and mindfulness and taking mm-hmm. yourself through some steps. I don't know if anybody's ever studied or practiced that or if you know what that is at all.
Yeah.
And that worked, man. I was getting some of the best sleep of my life when I could do some meditation before bed. Mm-hmm. And I kind of let it go. You know, there's a lot going on during the night and you're taking care of the baby and... after that, you want to have some time, downtime, you know, whether you're watching TV or whatever it may be that you want to watch because you don't do much else. So that's gone. That's the thing that's gone for me. So, something like that I should probably get back to and just kind of self-check my, you know, do some self-checks.
Have you considered, like, even just finding, like, a 3 or 5 minute YouTube, like, guided meditation before bed?
Yeah, you know, that's what I used to do. It wasn't necessarily YouTube, but I did find some apps that I had that were on the Apple Store because I am an iPhone guy. I did find some of those. And then Amazon Prime has some great things on their Amazon Music for meditation. You have to kind of search for them.
Right.
Because not all of them are great. Mm-hmm. And some people can just throw up whatever they want and probably get on there, you know. Yeah. But that I have done that. I just got to get back to it. Now that we were in room sleepers. We weren't in co-sleeping, but we were in the room sleeping for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And
still in the room sleeping.
It's all right. There's nothing wrong with that, though.
Right.
But our, our philosophy with that was, mine always was, I'm supportive for what Lauren wants to do. And I would have, it was hard for me to even say, okay, this is our time to move her to her own bed and get her to start sleeping in her bed. So we moved her. So it was always tough for me to even have anything on in the room when I would go to sleep. That's not our space. And we've kind of, it wasn't our space. And that's where we kind of are like, okay, we're at a point now where we want to kind of make it our space. It's mom and dad's place where we can go at night. And if we want to watch TV there, we can be in there. Cause it was down here in the living room or family room. And that's kind of, hopefully will be the common space. So maybe it'll shift to that. And that was kind of our thought process about moving it. So now we'll have our own place to do those things. So I can get doing some of that stuff and she can take care of whatever she needs to do. So we just moved her. So that's another thing, like all these big changes. Originally the plan was to move after the surgery and we kind of talked to some other folks that have gone both ways and they kind of gave, you know, weighed some options on the flip side of that. And we kind of went with, okay, well, we'll try putting her there. And she's been doing well. Tonight, she doesn't seem to be sleeping very well. So I have this strong sneaking suspicion that if it continues, she will end up in our room and probably in the bed. Which is good, too, because, you know, when I work those late hours, I don't ever see her, you know, I see her when I leave in the morning because I'm gone before they're both up and moving and going. And the last few nights I've gotten home when she's hit bedtime. So it was actually today was a nice day because I got to do all those things. But so it's nice when those days, too, when she's in there. So, that's kind of digressing from the topic a bit, but. I think that was a fear too. Fear of letting that go. I didn't say much because I didn't know what to say. When my wife was kind of going back and forth with it and I was kind of like, in all honesty, it was like, well, I'll do what you want to do.
Right.
And it's not because I didn't have an opinion. I think if she would have left it down to the option, I might've said, let's keep her till after the surgery. I think it's a good idea. But we kind of worked through it and we kind of waited out and that's where our decision was. But I think that was a fear and I think it's still a fear. At night we think about, I can tell you this, my wife's been packing her bag for the last week and a half.
Yeah.
And I get it. And me, I kind of am not trying to think about it. I think that's my way of coping with the fear too. It's just going.
Just kind of shoving it under the bed.
Mm-hmm. And so, it's scary. It's scary. And I know it's routine. You hear from doctors. I keep saying routine. It's more of a surgery that's done more often and it's very successful, but you still, you know, I guess my fear and I look at it is when I go through the odds our odds have been, if I'm a person that's going to play the odds, I'm the one that's going to hit those odds usually. When I was younger, I had meningitis. Not many people get that.
Right.
We both dealt with IVF, which doesn't play. I mean, it plagues more people, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't. We're hitting another smaller scope of person or people or population. And then the AVSD on top of that. So it's like, I don't want to play the odds or hear odds, because to me, it's a one-on-one chance all the time. Or, you know, 50-50 or whatever I'm saying. So in the back of my mind, anything can happen. I'm going in going, what is the bad news they're going to tell me? That's what I'm afraid of.
Right.
Now, but I also know I've got this other, you know, like kind of devil's advocate, or I guess the other flip side on my shoulder going, yeah, but you can't do that, because then you're creating yourself some negative energy, and then you get down, and then that's when problems arise. So those are some of the big fears I'm dealing with. That was a, you know, a lot to throw at you and everybody all at once, but
that's me. I never thought about like the odds with you having meningitis. So like, yeah, because we always hear the statistics on that are low, but there you were.
Right. So I toy with that a lot. And, you know, and some of those, I wouldn't change. I'll be honest, I don't think I would change anything that's happened now. I would change, hopefully, my daughter not having to have pain. I would definitely go do that for her in a heartbeat.
Of course.
And take that. But it's a lot of the things that have happened, you know, I wouldn't change, because it has made me a stronger person. And hopefully it'll make her a stronger person, too. And I think it will. She's already a tough kid. And we have great family support. We've got great friends that are very, very supportive and kind of get where we're at. And I think the biggest thing, if I were to tell somebody, how can you help somebody manage them going through a large crisis, or not, I don't want to call this a crisis, but a large event that could be life-threatening or that's a major health issue, let's say. The things that are great are kind of like what they tell you in those birthing classes, if, you know, you've gone through them recently or can remember back to those birthing classes. You know, if you go to visit somebody, or if you need, reach out to the person and say, I'm going to come over and cook you a meal. Or I've got a casserole that was made. I'm just going to drop it off. You know, we may stay for 5 minutes. We don't have to stay. We can leave it on the porch. Not, I mean, we never did that, but those were the things that were the most comforting, to know that that was the support, and just come up and show up and just say hi. So, yeah, those are the things. So very much dealing with fear right now, and trying, and what's helping too is talking about this. This part of the reason I started the podcast originally was to deal with and talk about it and get help, because there's not a lot of help out there. Not necessarily help with this per se, but just get help as a parent, because there's a lot that goes into it. And what I'm dealing with may not be what you're dealing with, or somebody that's listening is dealing with, but there's, we all have something going on and what we're afraid of. And hopefully somewhere down the line, somebody can get some help. So, you know, I've talked a lot about my fear in this, and we can kind of loop back to it a little bit. But you know, what kind of things do you see and fear about, you know? And
well, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, when you first find out you're pregnant, you know, your mind starts to go in all these places and imagine fatherhood.
Right.
But I felt like I had a good handle on myself then. But it was leading up to the due date. You know, the due date kind of came and went, and just every day that kind I got this idea in my head. I was very afraid, and I'm almost embarrassed to say it now, but I was like so afraid that Ellie was going to have Down syndrome. We never did any of the tests, because it was like, it doesn't matter, because it's not going to affect how we feel, you know, it is what it is. But for some reason, like just after the due date, I got it, this fear in my head that this is what's going to be. And it was just like kind of freaking me out, to the point where like, I thought I was getting signs. I don't know if you remember this TV show when we were kids called Life Goes On.
Yeah.
And the theme song was the Beatles.
Yeah. Obladi Oblada. Wasn't it?
Yeah. Obladi Oblada. So I would get in the car and turn on the radio, and that song would be on. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, like, and I felt ridiculous and I felt embarrassed to even have these thoughts.
Like superstitious thoughts.
But it was to the point where I didn't want to admit it to anybody.
Right.
But I didn't want to tell Aya because she was, you know, pregnant and about to have, I didn't want to add anything in her head.
Have you told her since?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious if this was going to be the first time she hears it. Yeah.
I did call my mom and tell her, I was like, this is so ridiculous. Like, this is so ridiculous and it doesn't, you know, but I just like had to get it out of my head.
Right.
And she was just like, that's completely normal. Like,
right.
This is completely normal fear. Like, it is, it isn't, it doesn't matter. You know, you're going to be fine.
Right.
But yeah, that was like the first like, oh my gosh, like fear that I remember feeling. And like a current fear, there's two. One is like, it's a real fear, but it's also like irrational and imaginary, right, is them being taken. Yeah. Like I think about that and it just like takes my breath away.
Do you think that's partially of what the age we are and the product we are? Because, I mean, go back to when we were kids.
Right.
And I don't know what's changed now or it's just desensitized to it because of media. But I remember being taken. I wasn't taken. I remember kids, that issue coming up a lot and always being worried about it back in the early 80s.
I see. I don't remember.
You don't remember that?
I don't remember
a lot of that. And then the whole, you know, obviously John Walsh thing with his son, with Adam. And so I remember that. And I don't, you know, sometimes I wonder if that plays into it. So obviously not for you, but I was just curious.
I've heard that, you know, as a society, we're more worried about that now.
Really?
But it actually happens a lot less than it did.
Right. I did. I think I heard that somewhere too.
But because of the media, we hear about all this stuff more than we did then.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know either.
That's one thing that gets in my head and, you know, you don't want to be that helicopter parent.
Right.
But you also don't want to give that too much freedom and especially when they're younger and, you know, in the neighborhood now, you see kids who ride their bikes by themselves
right.
and I'm like, I'm not ready to let you go that far yet. Yeah. And that's in my head. And I just, anytime I hear a story about that or a podcast, or a documentary,
no, totally.
It's just like, oh my gosh, it just takes my breath away.
No, those are big fears. And I can let you in on a little secret. You want a little secret?
Yeah.
One thing is with AVSD,
mm-hmm.
when you are diagnosed with AVSD, I still remember me doing myself MD, you know, Google MD, which is the worst thing to ever do, but we still do it.
Right. Yeah. It's the worst thing.
Although I haven't done much, you know, since the diagnosis, but, with AVSD, it's, I'm pretty sure I'm not 100, you know, I don't have a stat in front of me, so I don't want to be called out if I'm totally not, I'm not going to be totally off base, but it's close. It's a pretty darn close, if not 50-50 chance that it'd be Downs. When you were born with AVSD.
Mm-hmm.
And we did do testing, not because it would make our decision change. One, I think it was just a fear to just get the information
just to be prepared.
We could prepare.
Mm-hmm.
But two, it was, you know, it was basically just to prepare and know what our new normal would be if that was the case. Now, we didn't encounter that, but even after the test for me, and like I said, I think because that's had it been the test and then the baby was here, it would have been different either way. But having the test and still not physically seeing a child,
right?
I did the same thing you did. I thought I saw signs that the test is wrong. And again, my mind was going there, and it sounds like it's bad. It would have been a new normal for us. And I think more so than knowing if it would be Downs or not Downs, I think not having the physical child after the test was done,
mm-hmm.
for me was like, okay, there's still a possibility. Again, it was going to go back to the odds. There's still a possibility of something.
Right.
And we met with like the geneticist and the genetic counseling and all that stuff. And you're going through all the stats and you know, even when they read the smallest of smallest stats, I still in the back of my mind had, there's still a possibility. So then, like you said, it's not crazy. And I maybe we're the only two. And this is what we were talking about before, that maybe we're similar. But I did the same thing. I said, oh, man, I heard this, or I saw this, or I encountered yeah. this interaction. And it would have been fine. And, you know, we both would have been totally okay with it and enjoyed and loved parenting the same, if not more.
Right.
So it's just a, it's not an unnormal thing to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that fear, I don't know if maybe it's just us and people can tell us about that and we'd love to hear about it. But, you know, I don't think it's not normal to do when you start doing those things or going down those,
yeah,
those paths.
Cause it's the unknown essentially.
Right. So let me ask you this, as they get older, is that dissipating or is it getting worse?
The fear?
The fear of, let's say, the children being away where they are more responsible and maybe they're more aware of their surroundings, or does it get worse because they're older and they're going to push the limits a little more? Or maybe I'm putting something in your head and it's going to make it worse.
You know, I kind of feel like every level of parenting kind of prepares you for the next right. one. Cause I like, you know,
yeah.
kids that have high schoolers now, I can't even think about that.
Yeah.
But you know, when I had an infant, I couldn't think about having a 7 year old. Like I'd see a kid like mm-hmm. 7 years old. Like, what is that about? And now it seems pretty doable. No, as I see them grow and their confidence grow and them want independence, I want to give that to them.
Yeah.
And, they want it to. There's certain times like they don't want to talk to any of my friends until I leave the room mm-hmm. and then they want to show their independence. So I want to give them that. Mm-hmm. And again, it's like, it's not a crippling fear where it's no. preventing things, but it is like when I think about that, it just takes my breath away.
Right. Right. No. And it's understandable. I am always worried about those things as well. And like I said, the whole superstitious thing and all that is not,
yeah.
I don't think, not superstitious, but the whole just seeing.
Yeah.
I think your mind does those things.
Yeah. It gets in your head and just kind of does things.
Right. No, you know, I don't think for me and, you know, and maybe you can answer this too. I don't think it's been the fears that I have, especially with what's going on with us right now. I don't feel like it's affecting my parenting. You know, but, you know, I'm sure there's times that it does. And I'm assuming you're in the same way that the kids, do your kids sense that you're afraid of those things? Do they ever say anything to you about it? Or it's no. just, you know.
Like, I don't even like to talk about it because I feel like it brings too much attention to it. So I.
Right.
I didn't even sure I wanted to bring it up here.
Oh. Yeah, no, but, you know, it's an interesting thing. And we'd like to think that everything's going to be perfect in a perfect world all the time and live in our glass bubble, but it's not. And unfortunately it's tough, and we all have different things and we all have different backgrounds and experience of what we deal with. And we all come at it from different ways. And what my fear is may not be the same as yours. And it, you know, as we hear today that we do have some differences in what we're afraid of, but that doesn't make them any less than anybody else's. And these fears are valid. And I don't know what's the one way that you cope with yours, you know, in dealing with it to kind of make that go away.
You know, that it's like, I know it, like I said, it doesn't cripple me to the point where it affects things. Another thing that I think about is with me being a stay at home dad,
mm-hmm.
I sometimes worry that there's going to be a point where one of her classmates, she'll get old enough where that everybody will realize that she's different, or she'll realize
right.
that her dad's at home and everybody else isn't. And then it'll almost be she'll be embarrassed of me. I know as a parent, like your kids are going to be embarrassed you at some point.
It's a valid excuse.
But I'm afraid.
Valid excuse, valid reason.
I'm afraid that she's going to be embarrassed of me for that reason.
Right.
And that just is like.
That doesn't sit well with you.
That, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and it may happen. I like to think that it is in being in background in education, kids are a lot more accepting, a lot more understanding of different situations mm-hmm. as they see them more often now than when we were kids. And,
right.
you know, and I'm assuming our parents were in the same boat too. And they said, well, when they're kids, you know, that they saw we see things differently than their generation saw.
Right.
So, you know, maybe this thing is just evolving and evolving. So that won't be an issue.
And I don't want it to affect like play dates and stuff. You know, it's easy for moms to get together
right.
and, you know, shoot the conversation and, you know, when, but it's different when there's a guy.
So how do you insert yourself in something like that? Like, how do you get yourself involved so that the moms who are typically the majority, accept you for you being a male and that your kids are going to come and that's what they're going to get. They're not going to get mom and
I try the Dzinski
children. They're going to get dad and, you know.
I try to just be a nice person. I try to be a respectful person. When the opportunity is there, I try to introduce them to my wife, you mm-hmm. know, to put that face together.
Right.
If their husband is there, I try to introduce myself to them. So I'm just not a name that gets thrown around.
Right.
Yeah, and there has been a few times where somebody has sent their kid over for me to watch them specifically. Hey, can you watch my kid while I'm doing this or whatever?
Right.
And I see that as like the ultimate sign of trust. Like
right.
if that totally. Happens, I'm like, wow, this person really trusts me. Like I will not let you down, you know?
Right. And that's, yeah. And that's a fear that people need to overcome on their own too. I guess to kind of, to ask you this, to kind of go with what you just said, and you kind of started to talk about it, but how do the dads from the other side, like if you're getting together with the group for play dates and it's all women and you,
mm-hmm.
how do dads perceive that? Have you ever run into any issues with that?
I have not run into any issues. Good. Sometimes there's awkward conversation when I talk to the dad.
Mm-hmm.
My perception is they maybe don't know how to talk to me or mm-hmm. I don't know how to talk to them. Like, I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, it's interesting.
Right.
But as far as like fear of like being a good dad or a good parent or the, like, I feel like there's all that on a certain level, but those are like the ones that stick out
right.
as being more major.
And, you know, when I've talked to people that have been more seasoned parents or more, you know, farther along than us or maybe grandparents now, you know, or talking to our parents or dads or whatever, you know, they said, I'd love to tell you that there's something that changes. I get this all the time. I'd love to tell you there's something that changes specifically with what we're going through now. But you're always going to be worried about them or afraid of something for them until the end of time. And
I try to channel that fear or worry into more productive because, you know,
yeah.
worry for the sake of worry doesn't help anybody.
For sure.
Sometimes it's very hard to control that.
Right.
But, yeah, I try to what's that phrase? Control the things that you can
yeah.
and let go of the things you can't, whatever that phrase
right.
is. I do try to like have that in my head.
Right. And that's a great mantra to have. Yeah.
Yeah. And those fear, you know, different fears will come and go at different stages.
Right. You know, what my fear is right now, you know, I may be in the back burner, but as she gets older, it'll be totally something different. Like, and it's going to be something different when she starts to drive or when she goes away to college, you know?
Right.
That those are things that are going to happen. And that's what somebody says, you know, I wish I had some magic solution to say when they hit this age, they're going to be, we're not going to worry about them, but we always have something that's going to be a fear involved. So, and we'd love to hear, like we say every episode, we'd love to hear from you and tell us what your fears are or tell us what you think. Share with us your fears. You can do it anonymously. You don't have to tell us. We don't need to share names. Help us out. You know, give us some ideas. What are you coping with? Maybe you've gone through something similar that you can kind of shed a little bit more light. Or maybe you are a more seasoned parent or dad or grandparent and even moms. You know, I know this is dad experience. It doesn't mean we are exclusively only dads. I do know that there are women out there that are listening, and that's totally great, and that's fine. Maybe you relate to us, you know, in this podcast a little bit. So we're glad to have anybody and everybody. So, you know, as always, you feel free to email us, you know, at our Gmail account, and that email will be in the liner notes. You can always also reach out to us on Twitter, which is at DadExpPodcast. Again, at what did I just say? I can't even remember now. I lost my train of thought. This is all that fear catching up to me.
Yeah,
it's at DadExpPodcast. So DadExpPodcast. Reach out to us. Let us know. Follow us. We'd love to hear from you guys and talk to you a little bit and interact. So the Facebook is up and running as well. We try and post some things there. Share with us your stories on there as well. So until next time, we really appreciate you listening, and we hope to have you coming back very soon, and we'll hopefully have another episode out for you shortly. We're hoping to have maybe possibly two out in June. If not, we will have another one out in July. So thanks for listening, and hope to catch you on the next one.
See you.